This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Thank you, Pastor Rudy, for your transparency and willingness to share with us your childhood and your story. I want to thank you for sharing. And we, as he already identified to us, this is our time where you will have an opportunity to ask questions to our panel here. Before we get to the questions, I want to introduce those who are here with me on the panel. We have an august group of individuals. First, to my, I'm not good with directions, my right. Anyway, right here is Dawn Williams. She is with us here. And we also have Eliana Hurst. And again, we have Pastor Joe, who is with us. And so we have an august group of individuals who have all experienced childhood, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yes. Some a little while longer than others, but we praise God, all of us. And then we also have Pastor Rudy, who will be joining us also live in our panel. And so we have a number of questions that have already come in during the session. I really appreciated Pastor Rudy, your comment on procupto. And your explanation of the word to cut forward, or you have to lose something in order to be able to increase. I really like that. I really appreciated those comments. Thank you for that picture of what increase is. But we do have a question, and I'm going to throw it out to the panel. The first question that we have here is there a certain age when children start becoming aware of God's calling them? Is there a certain age where children start becoming aware of God calling them? This is open to anyone who would like to answer at this time. I mean, all of us are parents. I imagine, I don't know if Pastor Rudy is, but we have all experienced childhood, so we've all had a chance. Is there a certain age where children start becoming aware of God calling them?
Wow, that's interesting. I guess for my family, I feel the younger my children were. I have a 16-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 13-year-old. Mm. So I have the gamut.
The whole span.
But I think for us, I felt like they were much more in tune, I guess, when they were younger. I feel like there's the innocence of it all. Mm-hmm. Like, and I guess that connects with the Bible, where you have to become a child.
Right.
So I feel like maybe more when they're smaller, and then they go through some things, just like I did. And then I guess when they get older, you start hearing it again. That's just from my personal experience,
right.
I feel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. So younger and then kind of wanes, but then comes back. Anybody else have a similar or maybe a different experience on the panel here?
I think it's probably similar for me. My children are older, in their 20s down to 16. And yes, as you said, the younger years, around 5, 6, 7, they get really excited about serving God and what that means. And then as they got older into their teenage years, it's like, we've done this already. So, you know, let's move on a little bit. And then obviously, as my childhood went on, as you get older, then you get more excited about God again. So I think it starts from when you're younger. Five, 6-year-olds.
I try to analyze this question from the perspective of the young parent and the small children. It's interesting how they interact with you as a parent, and somehow relating to the authority of the parent, they learn how to relate to God as authority. The other day, my daughter was telling me when I was praying with her to go to bed, she said, let's pray that I will not have bad dreams.
Bad dreams, right.
Now, and I was analyzing this request, right? Because obviously she was aware that somebody beyond me, beyond just daddy, can help her not to have bad dreams, right? So there is at least a kernel of reality there, a seed of reality there that has to grow. But I very much appreciate the thoughts of an educator par excellence, Ellen G. White, would say that up to a certain age, your child looks at you as if you were God. And that's very profound, because the child believes that you can provide everything. You can really perform whatever miracle he needs, she needs, right? But then, little by little, the child develops the idea that, okay, yes, daddy and mommy are here and they do all kind of things for me, but there is somebody beyond them. And yes, I agree with you ladies that there is that childish faith first, or realization of God, but then there's a sort of decline. I'm not sure it's general, but maybe there's a change of perception, and that's when parents get scared and they have the impression their kids lost it. But then if education is a continuum, then it will come back.
Right.
And
right,
it right. comes back strong.
Right.
Thank you. Right. Pastor Rudy, I was going to ask you to share.
Yeah. I was going to go from a different angle on this.
Okay.
Because I hear my Christian fellow parents talking about their experiences, and Pastor Joe also being a Christian parent, but not everyone, and especially not the majority, has the privilege to be raised and to be born into a Christian home.
Yes.
And so what do we say about that? Because it is one thing that I, being a pastor, a Christian, raise my kids in certain ways with certain awareness for them, right? But it's different when, which is the majority again, kids that are not raised by Christian parents. What happens with them? And I believe with all my heart, because that's what I experienced in my childhood, the Lord has different ways to reach them in that kind of circumstance, right? So if the parents are not living the ideal format that the Lord has for them, then he will find other ways to reach. I mean, I could sense the presence of a divine being in my childhood in the middle of mass. Right, being in these huge buildings and just breathtaking buildings, I did see there was something that I needed to pay attention to. My parents didn't show me that, but God found a way to get through me, which set the foundation for what he was bringing to my life later on. And so we are to always consider the God factor in everything that goes in our lives, in the lives of our children. Yes, Christian parents, we have a bigger responsibility to do our part to our children, but at the same time, God will complement and do the most important part on reaching out to our children to conquer their hearts.
Powerful. If you allow me, I think this is remarkable. This is amazing. To realize that God works with every child.
Yes. Yes.
In different settings.
Yes. Amen.
And he uses tools that you would not use as an educator, right?
Yeah.
As a Christian educator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And God still can somehow convey his message of love to that child. And I was thinking while Pastor Rudy was exposing this reality, how amazing it is that, you know, sometimes even through the life of an educator that may not be a Christian, a professed Christian, a child still can grasp some glimpses of divine.
Divine, yeah.
Right.
Wonderful.
Right.
Powerful, powerful. Yeah. It reminds me of the text in Scripture that says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth.
Yes.
That sounds like it and includes children as well.
Yep. Wow.
Yep. Powerful, powerful. Mm-hmm. So another question that we have here is, how can I help my child understand that the Jesus whom he or she prays is a real person, even if they can't see him?
Mm-hmm.
How can we help our children, our child?
It's not the imaginary friend.
Imaginary friend.
And bear in mind, we're not looking at this from a parenting standpoint. We're looking at it from our own childhood or from the experiences of our children. Mm. How did we help our children to experience the fact that Jesus is real, even though we can't see him, right?
Mm. Yeah, very, very interesting really.
Yeah. I think for myself, I wasn't born and raised Adventist, etc. So to find God for myself was a reality, as you said before, coming through school, coming through environments whereby through, I think Pastor Rudy was talking about Mass, having been to a Christian school that was not, you know, I wasn't part of that Christianity, and seeing that and understanding, wait, God really is real for everyone else around me, and trying to find for myself who God truly was. Mm-hmm. So I think that journey is, how do we do that with children? Well, when you are a Christian parent, you're trying to show your child exactly, you know, this is God and this is what it looks like, and let's talk to him, etc. But to have that actual relationship, especially when you're not raised in an environment where Christianity is the norm, it's a very different walk. It's a very different way of actually coming to understand who Christ is, and it's your journey that you are doing on a daily basis.
Connecting to what Don said, definitely your journey. So I know for my childhood and even for my children, I find that when we talk about experiences or where we can pinpoint, oh, that was definitely God, or when I got lost in France and couldn't speak any of the language, but I got home safely, that was definitely God. So kind of just helping them talk about experiences, and as you said, from a young age. Also for me, growing up, the only Christian in my house was my grandmother. Mm. And when I was born, she decided, okay, I'm gonna take her to the right church, and she went, and that's how Christianity started, Adventism started in our family. But my mom wasn't an Adventist, and my uncles and my father, so it was just me learning from my grandmother, listening to her experiences and the stories. Mm. And I feel then having to talk about, even from a very, very, very young age, maybe 3 years old, having to explain that to my father, who was living in New York at the time, okay, this is why we're not doing X, Y, Z.
Right,
so
right,
you
right.
never know, just, and sometimes I feel it depends on the child's personality.
Yes. Yes.
I think I was really under my grandmother, so I kind of followed in step with what she did. And so I would speak, even at three, to say, no, we can't do that, or yes, and all God is, you know.
Yeah.
So I think from talking about being authentic and transparent for us, for me and my husband and I, as we raise our children, being transparent in our experiences, and this is the struggles we had, so they don't feel like it has to be perfect all the way through.
All the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And another thing, just thinking about my children as they were growing up as well, we would write like prayer requests in a journal.
Yeah.
And so we would do our prayer requests, and we'll say, okay, let's keep on praying. And they'll see that there's a certain amount of time that God may answer or he may not, but we still have to trust him anyway. So just building that trust as well is another thing.
Excellent, excellent, thank you. I love the transparency and being willing to hear, being willing to be open, allowing the children to be able to see your life so they can see Jesus in you. The reality of Jesus is made real through your own lives. Pastor Rudy, you were getting ready to share.
Okay. I was trying to to follow up the two interventions of our sisters in the panel, and also recalling what Pastor Joe said before, that reference to parents being gods to our, to the children, or God to the children. And that's a reality that parents need to accept. It's very difficult to describe who God is with words. It's less difficult to show who God is. Mm-hmm. And so I think parents have a huge responsibility. And again, when we talk about the childhood of Jesus, we'll see that along with the description of what he went through is the description of whom his parents were. And it's because the childhood of a child, the childhood of a person is shaped and has to do completely with who the parents are. So the best way to tell the children who God is, on how to trust in God and how to talk to God and all this, is parents doing it themselves. And so children from the beginning of their lives, they are to see in their parents who God is. So more than saying, is showing.
Wow.
I would like to point out two elements here. One is the importance of ritual for kids. Adults, especially in postmodern mentality, have the tendency of discarding ritual. Except for those that are attracted to some oriental kind of spirituality. Mm. But for a kid, for a child, a ritual is something practical that brings God close, makes him real. Mm. And the other aspect is, I recall from my early childhood when I saw the Bible of my preacher, of my pastor, right? It was a Bible with the red, sides, okay? Beautiful Bible. And I somehow was attracted to the Bible. And in my little mind, I was somehow associating the Bible with God. But although you cannot see God, like in a physical shape or form, he still has something pretty tangible, because in that book, God speaks. Okay, so there are practical ways that bring God at a tangible level close to a child, I believe.
You said you had two.
Yeah.
Ritual and
so
the
ritual and the Bible, though.
Bible. Okay. Written ritual
word.
And the Bible.
Yes.
Powerful. Thank you. All right, so we're answering that question. Just remember, how can I help my child understand that Jesus is a real person? Talking about ritual, we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about being transparent, we're talking about, you know, appreciating the fact that, you know, we are the example. We have to live it, right? They can't see him, but they can see us. And they can be able to see our influence on them. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing. We have one last, and I want to remind those of you who are watching, if you have a question, we invite you to text your question in 954-388-8780, but we do have one other question that is here. This question is asking, my childhood is long gone. Not mine, but this is the
okay.
My childhood is long gone. Is there any way to make up for the time I wasted without Christ?
Pastor Rudy.
Total silence, right?
So there is very little that we can do nothing that we can do to change our past. Mm. But as we were saying during our devotional before, everything that happened in the past was either caused or allowed by our God. But remember that all things work together for good for those who love God. Mm-hmm. So those things that we even marked it as parts of our lives that we want to forget, they could have been orchestrated by God so that they will bring us to where we are now. So we are not so much on to dwell in what we didn't do in the past, but live in what we can do from now on. So I guess I think what I'm trying to say is more than, okay, we have to reflect on what happened yesterday, so that we find ways to praise our God, but we have to move on to what we can change, which is our present. And once we change this present, we will be ready, and we will be already transforming the future. So look forward, because the best is still to come. Amen. The Lord is working to bring you a better future, and there are certain things that He did and allowed in the past that are bringing you to that success.
I agree with Pastor Rudy, and I would also answer this question from the perspective of the child and young person. Because when we are children, we can easily get to the conclusion, hey, I have to try out everything, you know, because in the end, I don't have anything to lose. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's better to try out now the things that I would probably regret not having tried out in my childhood, in my youth. There's this kind of, I would say, very dangerous way of thinking, because what you are not aware in your childhood is that, yes, time passes, and you can get to a point where you have a new start. And I think the great thing about Christianity is that when you become a Christian, you become a child. So in that way, you kind of make up for your lost childhood, right? Because you start as a child and you grow in faith and become an adult. Right. But what we don't count with in our childhood is that when you get older or really old, and you look back and you've wasted your time, then you can deal with some sense of guilt that you have to be able to handle. Because yes, God is ready to forgive, but the enemy is always ready to remind
you.
You know, and that can throw you in a very painful, you know, reality of assessing and reassessing and reevaluating your past. But then I believe also that looking back, even somebody that says, okay, I wasted my time, can recognize in his or her past the steps where God was there and was intervening for him or her in tangible ways.
Right.
Any others who would like to share? As I'm thinking about it, actually, a text that comes to mind is actually about arrows. It speaks about children being arrows in the quiver of the father. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but think that there has to be a certain aspect of gratitude from children who are positioned favorably in their childhood in order that they might be able to even go farther. Mm. There are some individuals who start out at a different place in their lives. And in the picture of that arrow, an arrow goes nowhere unless somebody notches it and gives it, you know, and sends it its way. Right. That is the parents. That is the home that the child is raised in. You are sent from that home, the arrow that is being sent out into wherever it's going. And so I believe there is a certain sense of gratitude also that has to be there, and also a certain sense of responsibility for that individual, for the question that came in, that individual who is asking the question. There's a certain sense of responsibility, realizing where they are coming from, the time that's wasted, that they are identifying, and identifying that they can do a better job in the next generation to send the arrows that are in their care a little better than they themselves had sent them. And also the next generation, mm-hmm. so that each successive generation we see improvements. Yes. This is my thoughts on it. As we're going, we had one more question that came in from our community here. This is actually to Pastor Rudy. And so Pastor Rudy, this one is asking, how do you explain the actions of a child who rejects God when both parents have been a good example to them?
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And one thing that we have to consider is that we are not alone. And this might sound like a conspiracy theory, but yeah, that we are not alone here. And there is an enemy who is powerful and active and finding ways every second of our lives to hurt us and destroy us and bring just damnation upon us. And so that is a reality that will happen. And no matter how hard you try, no matter how good you train your children, no matter how best education you give them, there is still a possibility for them to go on a different way. So, and then Proverbs 22:6, right? It's God's promise. It's a proverb actually that assures us that once we do our part, that once we start them off in what they are to, their lives are to be, then it becomes a real controversy between our Creator, the one that is given the proverb, and the enemy who is actively trying to harm your kids. But I want to tell you one thing about our God. Our God does not know defeat. So that means that though there is a controversy between these two powers, we know who is going to win. So parents are to be encouraged by the fact that God is saying, you do your part and I'm going to do the rest. But that rest has to do between God and the child. If you do your part, parent, then they will have the arrows that they need to fight back when the enemy attacks them. So our responsibility as parents is to equip them so when they go on their own, they will have better ways to deal with all that is coming their way. And if they go astray, regardless of all the good education and good foundation, remember that as long as they live, and as long as you pray, and as long as God is working, there is hope for them.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else who'd like to answer? I want to thank Pastor Rudy for that answer. But anyone else who'd like to share?
I would add to Pastor Rudy's thoughts that when a child rejects God, that doesn't necessarily mean he rejects or she rejects God. I see and I hear now and there the cry of a parent, my child denies God, my child challenges God's existence, but that child is going through a crisis. It doesn't necessarily mean that this is a final stand. That child reached a final position on that. That child is in a crisis mode, searching for something, for somebody. When I first tried to approach my wife with regard to marriage, she said she would never marry, right? A child may say, I will never be a Christian.
Right.
But you may be able to convince that child that it's worth being a Christian. Just like you can convince a young lady that she could be a bride. Right? So you shouldn't just give up and say, okay, my child denied God, so what should I do? No. Love that child. Continue to pour out divine love on that child, because you never know when the plant of heaven will just come alive in that heart. But there's another aspect to it too. I believe, and this may sound painful, I believe there are gods that children should reject in some context.
Wow.
When a parent brings to a child a distorted view of God, a distorted picture of God, and then a child rebels against that distorted view of God, that distorted picture of God, that's not rebellion against God per se. Okay, so it's much more complex than that. I remember hearing Pastor Eschrick say once that when I see a debate between an atheist and a Christian, quite often I find myself cheering for the atheist, rooting for the atheist, and tell him, tear it down, bring that false god down. What I'm trying to convey is not that I encourage children to rebellion, but I'm trying to emphasize that when my child rebels about the God I brought to him, it's a good time for me to think and ask myself whether my picture of God is the real God.
Real God. Amen. Amen.
And where our time is actually up.
Yes.
I just wanted to say one other thing. Actually, I think we also have to remember that God created us as free will beings. We have a choice. And so, we will give the most favorable circumstances, but we have to remember that even in Eden, God had two children, and he lost those two. He is continuing, even now, striving to bring them back, right? All of us are his children, and that's the initiative of salvation that God is working right now. So we as parents, we as family members who have children who may be in this very circumstance, must continue to love as God is currently loving us, and with the hope that we will respond positively to the overtures.
Amen.
As we're coming to a close, we're going to go to our closing of the discussion time. We've had a wonderful panel. We want to thank all of our panelists for their contributions. We're going to turn it back over to Pastor Rudy, who's going to have a few last words as we prepare to close our evening.
Thank you again for the opportunity to share some thoughts, and especially some things that I never shared before in my life, of where Jesus was, where God was when I was little, when I was coming up. And so I praise God because I had parents that, though they were not Christian per se in the way that the Bible defines, they did the best they could when it comes to their religious life. And I praise God that he chose these two human beings to be my parents. Because thanks to their example, thanks to what they were, thanks to what they did, thanks to the way they portrayed themselves before me, prepared the area, prepared the way for me to become a servant of God. Because that's what I want to consider myself, and that's what I want to be for the rest of my life. All that I want is to serve God. All that I want is to uplift the name of my Lord. And that feeling that I have, that emotion that I have, that decision that I have made, is basically based on what my parents did when I was little. So praise God for my parents. And that just reminds me one thing, friend. The reason why we are who we are in a big amount is what our parents did when we were little. And so my invitation, as we come to a close to our meetings tonight, my challenge, my appeal, is simply to parents. Because parents need to understand that they are a very, very important element of society. The moment parents take these in the most solemn and responsible way, children will start being given to the society in better shape. And there is now better education. There is now better formation than for them to have Jesus as the center of their life. So parents, I don't care about what you didn't do yesterday. I'm appealing to you to make more, better and more decisions today to be a better father, a better mother, a better model in their lives, so that even though they may not see God, they might see God in you every day, every moment, the difficult and the easy ones, so that they will know there is a better way to live. It's on us now, parents, to form the next generation. And those things you do, those things you don't do, are needed to come to happen in their lives so that they become the kind of soldiers that the gospel needs. More than all the diplomas, careers, and all the studies in any university in the world, they need to learn about Jesus. Set time to model Jesus to them. Set time to tell them about Jesus. Set time to show the love of God, because that's the only protection that they will have for the world that is awaiting for them. But for you to be the model that they need to have, for you to share Jesus with them, as always, you need to have him first. So parents, I want to invite you individually to commit to Jesus more than ever before. The world is darker and darker, and the darker the world gets, the more you need to, the brighter you need to become. It is time for you, dear Christian parent, to shine so bright that people will see your deeds and they will praise God. So I invite you to commit yourself to God. I invite you to commit your life to God. I invite you to bring your home to the feet of the cross. I invite you to let God be the God of your family, the center of your family, so that and everything that happens will be an increase to you, whether you see it today or tomorrow. If you allow him to do what he can only do, it'll be an increase for you, and eternity will be awaiting for you and your children. And this is not my promise. This is God's promise for you. God bless you, and may he continue walking with you until you see him face to face with your children next to you. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Rudy, for that wonderful message and appeal. And if you are amongst those parents, maybe a young person that's out there that wants to respond to Pastor Rudy's message, we're going to invite you to text FAMILY 2020 to our number 954-388-8780. If you're in need of prayer, you're desirous of more Bible study in this matter or any other matters that we're talking about this week, or maybe you want victory in some aspect of your life, we're going to invite you to text FAMILY 2020 to 954-388-8780. I invite you to prayerfully consider your response to Jesus this evening, as we listen to the words of our closing song.
My all in all.
In the power of Christ, we each can stand. As we're coming to a close this evening, we want to thank Pastor Rudy for his powerful message that he shared. We want to thank our panelists that were up here, Sister Dawn, Sister Ileana, Pastor Joe, and their participation. We want to thank you for participating this evening as well. And we want to remind you, we'll be back here tomorrow night at 7 p.m., where we'll be having our fourth installment, our third evening in the Jesus at the Center series. We invite you to share with others. If you've been blessed tonight, we invite you to share the link on this series to others so that they also might be blessed. Until then, let's bow our heads as we close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, that whether in our spiritual childhood or in our physical childhood, dear Lord, you were still there with us in the midst of it all. We ask you, Lord, that you would indeed be with us as we continue to grow from strength to strength, as we increase, as Pastor Rudy shared, in all of the aspects of our lives, dear Lord. May you continue to lead us, to guide us, dear Lord, to help us, dear Lord, as parents and as family members, as church members, dear Lord, to ensure that Jesus is at the center of our lives and of our family. Dismiss us now, dear Lord, with your blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.